Now, we also want to communicate to our children, of course, that honesty is foundational to relationships. That's why it hurts us so much when a child has been dishonest, because we know that honesty is foundational to relationships. We want to communicate that to our children as well, because we want them to value it. It's so important.
Let's go to another parenting strategy, and that is to maintain high accountability. You can imagine how this would tie into the conscience, right? When you're maintaining high accountability, your child is feeling uncomfortable about doing something dishonest. You want him to feel uncomfortable. That's what the conscience does. It prompts you to feel uncomfortable when you're not doing what's right. So when a child's being dishonest, we want them to feel like, uh-oh, I wonder if someone's watching me. I wonder if I'm going to get caught. We want them to feel that way. And so maintaining high accountability is very important as we're working with our children.
And of course, this is uncomfortable for some children. And when you start checking up on them and say, but you don't trust me. The reality is that one of the jobs we have as parents is to check up on our kids. Certainly, if the child has been dishonest, we have to be checking up on them, but not with an attitude of catching them doing the wrong thing. We want to have an attitude of catching them being honest. And even if a child has not been dishonest, I think we need to be checking up on our kids, because we never know when they're going to be tempted beyond what they have the tools to handle, when the temptations of life are going to come at them and they're not going to be able to handle it at that moment. And so we want to be checking up on our children. We want to be finding them trustworthy. That's our goal when we're holding them accountable, is to find them trustworthy, because we want to be able to trust our children.
When I'm working with children in this particular area, I like to tell them the Bible story from Genesis chapter 20. It's the Bible story of Jacob, who was working for his uncle Laban. And as he was working for him, he had a plan. And so he says these words in Genesis 30, 33. He says, "And my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark colored will be considered stolen." He's saying, check up on me. We want our children to be able to say the same thing. Check up on me. You see, when we check up on children, we're helping them to understand and show and demonstrate that they are being responsible, that they're being honest. We're maintaining high accountability by checking up on our children on a regular basis. We call it the road back. If a child has been dishonest, they've broken trust. That child needs to earn the road back. What is the road back? The road back is paved with all these little pavers, these bricks that make the whole road back. Each brick made up of a time when the parents checked up on the child. Not checking to see if the child has failed, but to demonstrate that the child is now being reliable and trustworthy. So we check up on children on a regular basis. I tell kids, you're going to have to be checked up on hundreds of times in order to build the road back. And if you're dishonest even one of those times, it wipes out a lot of those bricks. You've got to be honest every time. You want to encourage your mom or your dad to check up on you, to see that what you're saying you're doing is really what you're doing. Furthermore, one of those bricks may be that you report an offense before your parents find out from the teacher or from someone else. You tell your mom or your dad about it. That's more bricks being placed into this package. My child is honest. I trust him. He tells me things before others tell me them. I know that he's doing the right thing. That's only built over a long period of time. And we're doing the same thing that Jacob did in Genesis 30 when he says, check up on me. Children need to be able to do that as they're working with us and building back the road of integrity.
See, if a child has been dishonest, we sometimes feel as a parent, I'll never be able to trust my child again. I can't believe he can just look at me and lie like that. Or he's so mischievous, I can never trust him. The reality is that we do need to be able to trust our children again. And sometimes our children feel like, well, mom doesn't trust me, what am I going to do? It doesn't make any difference. But we want to communicate to our children that we want to rebuild trust. Rebuilding trust is a part of what we're going to do in the family. We're going to learn from our mistakes. We're going to move away from being dishonest, and now we're going to be honest. But that road back is very difficult. And so we want to teach children what that road back looks like, and a lot of it has to do with checking up on our kids and finding them trustworthy. So we're checking their internet access and the different places they have been, looking at their history. We're checking their backpack. We're looking where they've been. We're asking them, we're calling the neighbor when they say they're going to the neighbors. We're checking up on them because we're building that road back. We want to be able to trust our children again. And it's very important to communicate to our children that we want to be able to trust them. So that's why we're doing this hard work of accountability and holding you accountable, because we want to be able to trust you.
Children who lie often lie again and again and again. So they tell a lie, they tell another lie to get out of that lie, and so on. So it's important for children to be able to stop and say, I lied. Asking children to confess is a very important part of the process. One dad told us the story about his daughter. She had a problem with lying, and he was working with her in this and confronted her about her lying. And he said to her, okay, what did you do wrong? And she said, you know, Daddy, you say it. See, she didn't want to admit that she lied. She didn't even want to say those words. It's hard to say. It's hard to admit when you've lied. It takes courage and humility to say that you've been dishonest. It's part of the plan. If you're going to move forward and you're going to make some changes, you need to be able to admit that you have a problem in that area, that you're weak under pressure, and that you want to be strong. You want to have the integrity. You want to move forward. You want to build the road back. So we're teaching our children how to do that on a regular basis. By maintaining high accountability with your children, you're doing that. You're watching them. They need to know that you're watching them. They need to know that someone is always watching them. You may not be there, but God is watching them. That's adding to this sense of conscience, this uncomfortable feeling when you've done the wrong thing, or when you're about to do the wrong thing. God has placed inside of our children a conscience. He's also placed the Holy Spirit there for to guide us and to help us, to help us know what's right. Romans 9:1 says, Paul says, I speak the truth. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. The conscience and the Holy Spirit both help us to do the right thing, even in this area of lying or honesty. We want to have that integrity. It's so important in our lives.
So when children struggle with this area of being dishonest, being mischievous, cheating, sneakiness, we really need to work hard on this area to help them to value integrity, to help them understand that this is an important part of your life you need to be working on. We're not going to just stay there, but that God has given you a conscience in your heart, and you want to have a clear conscience in this area. So we're going to work hard with you to build this road back so that you can, again, have a clear conscience in this area.
Let me give you one more example about this maintaining high accountability. We had a boy who was 9 years old, and he had been mischievous at the neighbor's, in the neighbor's yard. Well, we had talked to the parents and gave them a plan. We suggested you need to have some high accountability. You need to watch this child. He can't be over at the neighbor's. In fact, I would suggest that you require that this 9-year-old boy play in the same place where you are, Mom, for a period of time. So, Mom, if you're in the kitchen, he needs to be in the kitchen. If you're in the living room, he needs to be in the living room. You're teaching him that I don't think I can trust you to even be in a different room. You need to be in my sight all the time. We need to be together. And so she did that with this boy for a couple of days. He was just everywhere. He didn't like it, obviously. He wanted the freedom to be not in the same place, not have to pick up his stuff and go to the next room, not have to stop his activity and do something else. He wanted that freedom. That freedom only comes with integrity. Mom says, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll let you play in the house here with your other brothers and sisters, and we'll see how you do with that. If you're doing okay with that, then we can expand this. If you're not, and I find out something's going on, and I come in there, and nobody's admitting to what's going on, well, you may have to move back with me and be in the same room with me over and over again. You see, what she was doing was maintaining high accountability, watching her son every moment, staying on him closely. Well, it was over a period of a month, I got to tell you, a month that she allowed him to play inside of the house. Then they moved to the backyard. He could go out in the backyard. But if he was having a problem, she'd pull him back and restrict him to the house. It was only after doing that for quite a bit of time that she allowed him to go to the neighbor's house. Always watching, she said. Always interested to know, are you doing the right thing? Are you having integrity in your heart so that you can do what's right, even under the pressure of being alone? Sometimes with children who are dishonest, it's just the pressure of being alone that causes them to act out or be dishonest. We want to help them in this area of honesty. It's very important.
If your child struggles in this area of honesty, it's very important to be working on this part of the conscience. But even if your child is not struggling in this area, it's important to work on this part of the conscience, because Being honest, being open, having integrity in life is something, such a valuable trait that we want our children to have into adulthood as well.
Let's look at another theology. Let's look at the theology of God. Because as we study the conscience, there are four areas of the conscience: do what's right, deal with wrongs, be honest, care about others. As we look at those, we see that they all point us to God. Romans 2:15 says that no one's without excuse. God has placed a conscience in all of us to point us toward Himself so that we know that a God is there. What do we know about God? We know that He's right and He's righteous. When we think about the conscience, we're drawn to God's qualities of righteousness and justice. When we think about the dealing with wrongs in our lives, the conscience area of dealing with wrongs, we're drawn to God's mercy and His forgiveness. When we think about caring about others, we're drawn to God's grace and His compassion that He pours out toward other people. And when we look at this area of honesty, we are so grateful for God's faithfulness, His trustworthiness. Because when God is faithful and true, it frees us up to trust Him. See, God set it up so that we can trust Him and we can rely on the fact that He is faithful and true. The two go hand in hand. We can trust our God because He is faithful. We take that same principle then and we apply it to life, to the earthly relationships we have. Because when someone is trustworthy, then we can trust them. That's what we're saying. When they're reliable, when they're honest. God has designed trust as a relational concept. Every family needs trust as a foundation for making it work. So honesty becomes very important in our children's lives. Now, children may stray away from that. They may move away, but we're going to keep working on it, and we're going to use a conscience-based approach to do that. We're going to teach children about God, that God is watching. We're going to raise the importance of the integrity package in their lives. We're going to teach children about the truth. We're going to focus on the conscience, because when you focus on the conscience, good things happen.
Children need babysitters, at least when they're young. If you go to the neighbor's house for just a few minutes, you say to your son, "Watch your baby brother, I'll be right back." If you go out for the evening, you have someone come in and watch your children and put them to bed. Even when children move into the teen years, you're likely to check up on them or make sure that someone is in charge when they go over to a friend's house or to an event.
Although supervising children in one way or another will likely continue through adolescence, God has created an internal supervisor in a child's life. That internal guide is called the conscience. Everyone has a conscience, although some need quite a bit of work to make the conscience useful.
It's hard to find a good babysitter. It takes responsibility, courage, and diligence. In fact, nowadays a young person can go through a class to become a more effective babysitter. These classes help teens know how to do basic limit setting, understand first aid, and give a general understanding of children and how to care for them. In the same way, parents can influence the growth and development of the conscience in a way that contributes to an internal supervision of life choices. A well-developed conscience can help children make right decisions and contributes to a greater sense of responsibility even when others aren't around.
Now, we aren't suggesting that babysitters won't be necessary, but children with stronger consciences have a greater level of self-management. In many ways, conscience training is like babysitting class, providing children with an educated internal prompting that guides, directs, and supervises behavior, especially in tempting or difficult situations.
Well, we've done it. We've looked at all four areas of the conscience in more depth. So what does it mean for a child to have a clear conscience? And what can parents do to help their kids have a clear conscience? That will be the focus for next time.